Well, I'm Alec Pope talking today with Clark Farr, Scout Executive for the Grand Teton Council. Clark, thanks for talking with me today.
My pleasure.
So let's get right down to business. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has announced and has been in the works for a while that they are disassociating themselves officially from the Boy Scouts of America. So we're going to be talking about what that means for the Boy Scouts of America, what it's going to mean locally, and then maybe a little bit of the picture nationally. So first of all, how is this this is going to play out? This is happening January 1st, am I correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so what's going to happen, basically, and how's this going to play out for you?
Well, the scouting program in Eastern Idaho has traditionally been predominantly through affiliated with the LDS Church. I'd say approximately 80% of our membership and 90% of the units, the PACs and troops and Venture Crews are all sponsored by LDS wards. So that it's going to be a significant change on, you know, what how we've been doing business. We'll essentially be losing 80% of our customer base at the end of this year. So we've been working very hard. Fortunately, the leadership of the LDS Church gave us plenty of notice that this change would be taking place. So we've been working diligently to organize new units and try to get the word out that those who want to continue in scouting can do that. And we're organizing packs and troops for them to transition into.
When exactly did they say that they were going to be doing this? When was the announcement made?
It was in May of 2017.
And so what things have you been doing to prepare for this?
So I knew at the time when it came out we had about 18, 19 months notice. And so there's been several things. Approximately a third of the council's financial support came through donations through what we call Friends of Scouting. And the Friends of Scouting campaign or Friends of Scouting drive came as a result of work that was done by all the stakes and wards, LDS stakes and wards. And so that will discontinue. So, you know, at the end of this year. So we're working to completely revamp how we do our fundraising at council. Although we know that we were down, our fundraising was down significantly in 2017 after that announcement was made. Essentially, the fundraising that year stopped when the announcement was made. And then again, the financial support was significantly reduced this year, essentially for the same reason. So we've been adjusting. When we don't have the financial support, the result of that is we have to discontinue what we call a program support or program service. So my staff has been rapidly shrinking in size. We're down probably less than a third the size we were 2 years ago before the announcement.
Wow.
And so most of that, to this point, actually all of it, through today or through the end of this year, all of the reductions in staff have been by attrition. I had several employees that have found jobs elsewhere, either within the BSA or jobs outside of the BSA. And as those positions have vacated, we just haven't filled them. We just keep spreading those that are left thinner and thinner. But even that with the reduction in, so far we've kept up, you know, as far as our reduction in staff has kept up with the reduction in finance support. So that's worked out actually fairly well. But after the end of this year, I'm probably going to have to look at sometimes called a reduction in force or a RIF or layoffs. And you know, the extent of that will depend on what kind of financial support remains after the first year.
So it sounds like, frankly, this has basically spelled the doom of scouting in the area. I mean, is that an extreme take on it, or is that accurate?
Pretty accurate. I do may be a little harsh. So the analogy I've been using when I heard the announcement, I told my staff and I told my board that I just found out that I'm the captain of the Titanic. And back then it was 18 months, you know, the Titanic was going to hit an iceberg. We had plenty of advance notice. But now, you know, it's less than a month away and we can see the iceberg, you know, smell it, feel it. It's there. But I've switched from my Titanic analogy to I'm calling it the Carpathian model, but Carpathian was the first ship that arrived on the scene after the Titanic sank and rescued survivors. And so I'm using the analogy now that there will be a Carpathian moving forward. So the Grand Teton Council will survive. We'll just be a fraction of what we were. So, you know, for example, 2 years ago at our peak, we were serving over 23,000 kids, which made us one of the largest, we're actually in the top 25 largest Boy Scout councils in America back then. We're still serving over, right now, I think we'll probably finish the year at 21,000, which still makes us a very large Scout council, but most of that membership, like I said, approximately 80% of that membership is affiliated with the LDS Church. And so at this point in time, it's you know, somewhat irrelevant, and it's a large number, comparatively speaking, but it's an irrelevant number because most all that will go away at the end of the year. Now, we've had several LDS families and scouts that have made the decision that they want to continue in scouting, and they've already either have joined or are in the process of forming and joining new packs or new troops because they want to continue the scouting experience. We have what I refer to as legacy scouting families, and I'll give you my own family as an example. My grandfather was an Eagle Scout Salt Lake. My father was an Eagle Scout Salt Lake. I'm an Eagle Scout. I didn't grow up in Salt Lake, but I'm an Eagle Scout. I have three sons. They're all Eagle Scouts. Right now I have two grandsons that are scout age, and they're in scouting, and I've told them that I expect them to be Eagle Scouts, but you know, there's many legacy families like that that are also members of the LDS Church that are going to want to continue scouting, are going to want to continue having the scouting experiences and have their sons be, and now it could be daughters as well, but Eagle Scouts. So many of those want to continue and have already transitioned into other units that are not affiliated with the LDS Church. So that's part of what I'm referring to as a Carpathian, is that there's going to be, you know, survivors. There's people, but about one-third of the people on the Titanic survived. Tragically, two-thirds didn't, but I think that's probably a pretty fair analogy of what we're faced with and what we'll be looking like after the first of the year.
Now, we've been talking a lot here about a lot of the big numbers and the big picture, and that's absolutely essential. It can be hard to kind of grasp your mind around that, I think, a little bit. What is this going to look like for, say, the average person, whether it's a Latter-day Saint or not, and they want to do scouting, and they are trying to find a scout troop? Does that mean they're going to maybe have to travel farther? They're just going to exceed less numbers? What is that going to look like?
I guess that's part of what we're working on. We're trying to have a community pack and troop. And when I say community, up till now I've used the term community to differentiate units from that are not affiliated with the LDS Church. In a month, the term community will become irrelevant because all the units will be community units. But anyway, units that in each of the major communities. And so right now, for example, you're located in Rexburg, I assume you are, but at least the university is. And Dan's Hardware on Main Street in Rexburg, Dan Moldenhauer, who happens to be also a YSA bishop there on campus, but he and other community leaders are forming a Boy Scout troop. The charter partner, instead of the LDS Church, the charter partner is Dan's Hardware, Ace Hardware on Main Street. And so they're in the process of forming up a unit so that any kids that want to continue in the Rexburg area that want to continue in scouting can go join that troop and continue on their Trail to Eagle. Same thing with all of our communities. We're identifying scouters, people that believe in scouting, and still feel that it's important and that the kids need the values of scouting. And we're organizing those units, like I say, throughout the council's territory. We have probably at least a dozen units in the Idle Falls area, about that many down at Pocatello. We're forming up new units in Blackfoot, you know, Aberdeen, all over the council territory. So in the past, you know, pretty much anywhere there was an LDS chapel, you had two or three troops and packs that met there. Now there'll be, you know, maybe two or three in the town, but there'll still be that opportunity. So, again, the units will be around. Again, they won't be as prominent as they have been, but they will be there, and they'll continue serving youth.
It sounds like, yeah, what you're saying there, for the most part, it's just going to be smaller numbers, maybe a little bit more in between, but you will still be able to find troops and packs and such. That's going to take place when this change happens. It's happening right now and is going to officially take place on January 1st of the new year. But looking long-term, do you think that the Boy Scouts of America will be able to continue to survive in places like this, where it has been predominantly run by Latter-day Saint chartered packs and troops? Do you think it will be able to survive?
Sure. Yeah. No, I have no doubt about it. The I'm going to say my career in scouting, but I'll get to that. When I turned scout age, my family moved from Illinois to New Jersey, and there was, you know, a strong scouting program in New Jersey, most of which was not affiliated with the LDS Church. Because my family is LDS, you know, we had a troop with our ward, but there was lots of other troops, and scouting was strong. And this is back in the 70s, and then eventually I went to BYU, graduated, came to work for scouting as a career, and my career's moved me all over the country. This is the eighth move in my scouting career, and you know, I've gone everywhere from El Paso, Texas, to Anchorage, Alaska, back down to the Dallas area of Texas. I've moved all over the country, and scouting flourishes and survives, does just well in every area of the country, with or without support of the LDS Church. Obviously, in areas that, you know, Intermountain West, the Utah, Idaho, I-15 corridor, if you will, that scouting has been predominantly part of the LDS culture, and essentially every LDS young man has, in one way or another, been involved in scouting if they're active at all in their church affiliation. That's what's going to change, is it will no longer be part of the young men's program, but we have, you know, for example, in the Grand Teton Council area, so eastern Idaho, we have one of the highest densities of scouting registration involvement of anywhere in the country. Roughly, if you took 100 men right now, and, you know, actually it'd be higher in Rexburg, because the LDS density in Rexburg is much higher, but also Idaho Falls, if you lined up 100 men, on the average, half of them, 50 of them, will have had some involved either as a youth or as a adult involvement in scouting. That's most areas of the country, if they had 30%, they'd be doing good. And some areas, like I mentioned El Paso, for example, like El Paso is like 5% or something. So we have a remarkably high density or involvement rate here, which means our alumni base is very large. So we have lots of people that have been involved in scouting since they were boys and believe in the program, are committed to it, and are going to help make sure it moves forward and succeeds. So I have no doubt that scouting will survive. There are going to be challenges. One of the biggest challenges right now is facilities, finding places that are willing to allow, you know, a bunch of either Cub Scout age kids to meet for den meetings, pack meetings, and then also Boy Scout troops, you know, a facility that would allow kids in the 11 to 16-year-old range in scouting to come in and hold meetings. And, you know, that's kind of a unique age group and unique meet. But that's the facilities are probably our biggest challenge. because Leadership of the LDS Church has indicated that they would no longer make their buildings available for that. So that's going to be one of the bigger challenges. There's plenty of people or companies or churches that are willing to sponsor scouting programs. For many, many years, people had the vision of it. Scouting has been a great missionary opportunity, or other churches call it outreach opportunity, and there'll be many other churches that recognize that and want to step up and use that as a outreach or a way to get more youth involved. And again, if the churches, other congregations have meeting halls or those kinds of things and are willing to affiliate with scouting, then it'll shift over. Still, the highest percentage of scouting sponsorship across the country is with churches. In the past, that, of course, has included the LDS Church, but that's part of what's going to change. So I expect we'll still see a high level of involvement from churches. But any other, it can be a business, but also community organizations, Rotary Clubs, VFWs, things like that, those organizations traditionally have been strong supporters and sponsors of scouting units as well. The youth today need scouting as much, or most people believe more than ever. The values of citizenship and character development, leadership, personal fitness, the Scout Oath and Law, doing duty to God, those values are not taught or found anywhere else or any other organizations, and certainly not the way it is in scouting. And so the youth today need scouting, and we're going to continue to provide it, and we're looking for those that have that vision and want to support us in it. So appreciate the opportunity to visit with you.
Absolutely. And before you go, best way for anyone who is interested in getting involved, best route to go?
Probably our website, tetonscouts.org.
Okay, sounds good. tetonscouts.org. Well, Clark Farr, talking there about the future of Boy Scouts of America here, the Grand Teton Council, Eastern Idaho, Western Wyoming, and surrounding areas. Thanks so much for talking with me today.
My pleasure.